Chris Gibson, you voted against the Ryan budget, your own guy in the House. How come?
Well, I had a better budget to vote for. I read every one of these bills, and we had seven different budgets this year. And I fundamentally disagreed with one of the things that they were trying to do in the budget. You've heard me say it on this show before that I believe we can be safer for less money. And this is a topic that I had early engagement with Paul Ryan. I gave him a copy of my op-ed that I had published in the Times Union a number of months back. I had talked with Jim Jordan on this. And I just wanted these leaders to know that we need to think differently. We need to think differently, and we need to array our foreign policy differently, and that will open up the space for fundamental national security establishment reform that I believe will actually help our diplomacy and certainly make us safer. So I was disappointed to find out that the party was going to move in another direction to not only embrace the reform efforts, which I was hopeful that they would do, but they actually went the other way. And they added $214 billion to defense over the Budget Control Act bipartisan agreement that we reached last summer. And I'm not going to support that. I mean, I know who I work for, and I know what their interests are, and I just wasn't going to support it. And, you know, there was another thing in there, too, and that is while I was very encouraged that they committed to comprehensive tax reform, which we need to do and which will help upstate New York, I didn't see enough safeguards in there. Not to say that they won't end up with the safeguards that we're looking for, but in the bipartisan budget, we did get that. We said we committed to comprehensive tax reform, but we made statement in there that we wanted to protect the deductions for middle-class families. So many of our families made decisions on buying a home based on that deduction, that mortgage interest deduction, healthcare expenses, particularly for our self-employed. So you have that statement and some specifics put in there in the bipartisan budget. So from a policy standpoint, the bipartisan budget was better. It's pro-growth and it's fiscally responsible. It's a big number. Had we passed that bipartisan budget last summer, we wouldn't have had a downgrade. And so I think it's important, both from a policy standpoint, but here's the other point, Alan, that it was actually a bipartisan budget. And if we're going to move this country forward in an era of divided government, we've got to find a way to work together. And so, yes, it only got 38 votes, but you know what? That's a start. 16 Republicans, 22 Democrats coming together on what I think is probably the most fundamental issue before us, which is a budget. So there you have it.
When you decide you're going to do something like that, clearly the telephone rings and you've got to be ready for Paul Ryan on the other end of the phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, we had...
What was that like?
Well, we had a very lengthy discussion on the floor of the House of Representatives. And what I was very impressed with is that he re-engaged me later in the day, that he came back and we actually... found a way to really disagree agreeably about it. So Paul is a gentleman. He has the best intentions here. But in his defense, he is, you look at just like with the Democratic Party, there in the Republican Party, there's a wide view on issues. And within the Republican Party, there are those that want to spend more money on defense, and there are those that don't think we need to. And if we don't need to, we shouldn't. So he's torn in that way. With Paul, and then, of course, the leadership, too. But listen, when I sat down and explained to them why it is that we shouldn't be doing it, I felt like they listened to my point of view. So this is an iterative process. We're going to continue to work this issue. I need to do more work to build bipartisan consensus. I think there are already those that see the merit in my argument, but I'm going to have to continue to work harder.
Well, now, if, Chris Gibson, they needed your vote, really needed it, they weren't going to win, would the heat have been higher?
Oh, I'm sure the heat would have been higher. But listen, I've been through this before. And it seems like every time we get together, Alan, there's some vote that we get together about every 3 months. And whether it's the Patriot Act or whether it's NPR funding or whether it's broadband or whether it's the payroll tax, I've got a consistent record. I treat everyone down there with dignity and respect, everyone. And I read through these bills. I think about where our district is, and I tell them how I'm going to vote. And I tell them early. And that's one thing that the leadership does appreciate is I'll go through this, and I'll tell them where I'm at. What they're frustrated with is when sometimes folks come to the floor and they haven't even communicated how they're going to vote. So if nothing else, I'm consistent that they can expect that I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to communicate to them, and then I'm going to vote that way.
Let me ask you something. I remember when Maurice Hinchy, my friend Maurice Hinchy, was fighting for yet another presidential helicopter for an awful lot of money, more than $1 billion, I think it was at the time. And I was interviewing congressmen from both Republicans and Democrats from out in Gloucester and saying, do we really need another nuclear submarine? And they would say yes, and I'd say why, and they'd say China. In other words, at what point does somebody representing a district have to say, just because the factory is in my district doesn't mean that I haven't got to look at the more important view?
Well, every district deserves the strongest representation that it can have. So, I mean, I certainly think that there's a balancing act there. And, you know, Maurice's advocacy on the part of Owego, of the plant there, is certainly understandable. You know, at the same time, I mean, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to the people of our district and to our country that we make the right decision. So wherever a representative ends up, there's got to be a very detailed and earnest effort to communicate. There has to be an effort to go out and to explain to everyone, including the business in the district, why it is that where you are at.
Let's talk Mitt Romney for a minute. He's clearly going to be the candidate. And there is a question as to whether or not he will be helpful to those of you who are running for Congress.
Well, of course, it's not settled yet. And I have not endorsed any of the candidates. You know, I'll tell you, Alan, you look at the 2010 election, right? And you look at the candidates for governor. I didn't endorse either of them. And, you know, some wondered what the impact would be there. And yet, even though I was outspent, we won by 10%. So I don't take, you know, I don't worry about these things. What I have a full-time job and a half now. I've got 700,000 people I'm working for, and there's 400,000 people I need to get to know better. So I've got enough to do than to really delve into that matter.
Will the district, will your new district be favorable to you, more favorable, less favorable?
I think that I'm going to earn their support, just as I've earned the support of the 20th Congressional District. The goals that we are pursuing, growing our economy so that we create jobs, but in addition to creating jobs, that we strengthen the jobs we have. We have folks right now in our district that don't feel secure in their jobs, and there's more that we can do to both create jobs and to strengthen the jobs we have and to raise the quality of living, standard of living for all. So goal number one. Goal number two is moving back to a balanced budget. It's going to take time to do that, but we need to make steady progress to move back to a balanced budget to ensure that future generations have the same choices and freedoms that we had. And then finally, protecting our freedoms in the first order, making sure that we don't pass laws that step on our civil liberties, and then enacting comprehensive national security establishment reform to enable us to defeat al-Qaeda, and then also to rearrange our national security establishment in line with a new foreign policy so that we can actually be safer for less cost. These are goals that I think transcend party lines. These are American goals. And I think that's part of the reason why we've attracted support from Republicans, independents, and Democrats. And I believe that will continue. I look forward to that dialogue. Look, I'm very excited. I've had a number of opportunities already to get into the new areas. I have 81 new towns. And I'm already meeting folks all across the political spectrum and learning every day and greatly look forward to the challenge. It's going to be exciting.
Well, Chris Gibson of New York's new 19th, old 20th district, thank you so much for being with us. And as I say to everybody, and I really mean it, good luck.
Thank you, Alan. Good to be with you.